Zorba very shortly. And, of course, the hottest topic, Raymond, is Jack DeBellin. Mm. And this is an interesting one that's been brought up. And as we remember, Zorba was at the heart of the Brett Stewart case. Mm. It's almost 10 years to the day. Guys, if anyone asked Jack DeBellin, is he happy with the position he's got himself into? I'm sure he'd say no. So why doesn't Jack DeBellin stand himself down? Wouldn't this be seen as a somewhat proactive move on his behalf? And I'm sure the NRL and Players Association would be supportive of this. Cole from Newcastle. It's an interesting one, Cole. Cole, I'm sure Jack DeBellin, who has pled not guilty, doesn't believe he's done anything illegal. Now, he may have done something immoral.
And that's a different issue.
Completely different.
And that's one for himself and his partner and his family to deal with.
Correct. Correct.
Another interesting take on this is from Judy. What's it going to be like when Jack DeBellin runs out to play and gets booing from the crowd, etc.? It would affect his game. It's a hard decision, obviously, to stand him down. But in saying that, I know what Judy's saying, but also players get booed anyway when they go on the ground from opposition supporters, etc. But in this instance, he will be targeted.
Brett Stewart had this exact same thing happen to him 10 years ago. Zorba was there. He's with us this morning. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Ray. Morning Jimmy. It's a tough one. I hope the NRL don't fall into a knee-jerk reaction here. I think it would set off a massive dispute between the Rugby League Players Association and the game.
Yes.
I think cool heads are needed here. And I think the best thing that Todd Greenberg can do is to phone his judiciary chairman and set up a meeting for the very eminent QC at the time of the Brett Stewart case and now a High Court judge as well, Supreme Court judge. Jeff Bellew is the man to talk to on this issue, and Todd Bellew has him at his disposal. Mm-hmm. It's an eerie coincidence that Brett Stewart was the pin-up boy of the NRL and chosen to be the face of the 2009 season 10 years ago, and all hell broke loose just after 7:30 p.m. on a Wednesday evening, a few hours after the season launch at Manly Wharf. It was a terrible time for the player, his partner, his family, his teammates, the game, the Manly fans, fans of the game itself, sponsors. By 11 o'clock that night, all hell broke loose. I received a phone call from Stewart's manager, George Mimas, that Snake was in custody at DY Police Station, possibly facing serious charges. George said he couldn't get a suitable legal representative at that time of the night, and could I help? Unfortunately, Jeff Bellew was up at the time. I phoned him. He hot-tailed it to DY Police Station. And then in the hours that followed that morning, Bellew told Stewart to say nothing, and he didn't. Now, that's something that has been followed in this case by Jack DeBellin. Now, the cases are different. Every case is different, and I'm not saying one way or the other anything about DeBellin. But one thing that Jeff Bellew told Brett Stewart is not to say a word, and he didn't. That didn't stop the front page headlines. I don't remember a thing. Subsequently, the matter of a defamation case brought on by Stewart once he was found not guilty. The NRL and David Gallop wanted Manly to stand Stewart down, and they stood firm and refused. The club was fined, ridiculed, and Stewart was ultimately given his rightful day in court, where a jury quickly handed down a verdict. But it appears the lesson wasn't learnt by the NRL. It appears certain that DeBellin, who, like Stewart, has said nothing but a not guilty plea, that's all he's uttered, against the charges, will be probably stood down from the game until he appears in court. I think that is going to be a watershed decision if it's made by the NRL. I know there's a lot of money gone out of the game, and I know that the public is furious. I am too, but I think behind it all is the fact that you must be given your right, and that right as an Australian in a democratic society is to be not guilty until you're proven or you're proven innocent until you go to court.
Exactly.
And let the court decide. I'm pretty strong on this because of what I went through. I saw what Brett went through. He was called a rapist every time he walked down the street. He he heard the talk in the dugouts from the fans nearby. He heard everything, and it changed that young man's life.
So, has he ever got over that?
I don't think so. I haven't spoken to him for a long time, but he appeared pretty good at training the other day when he was on the field. He's back at Manly and assisting Des Hasler on his coaching staff. So, look, obviously that sort of those sort of scars take a long time to disappear if they do disappear. I don't know the ins and outs of the Bellin case. We've only got one side of it at the moment.
Yes.
We only had one side of the Stewart case at the time. He never said a word. And I think there's been some things written in the last couple of weeks since the Bellin did appear in court that we haven't heard the last of.
From what I understand, Jack de Bellin's lawyers have issued one media outlet with a concerns notice around some of the headlines that we've seen there. So that will, again, as you say, play out.
I think the damaging headlines, but this is the thing,
everyone's saying, yes, they're damaging headlines for the code, but Jack de Bellin, the St George Illawarra Dragons and the NRL can do nothing about that.
No, they can't. And we read about now about this meeting on Thursday. I would love Todd Greenberg, who I've got the utmost respect for. He may have already had a talk with Jeff Bellew. I mean, Jeff is one of the finest men I know, and he will have a view which he could give to Greenberg about which path. And he's a lover of rugby league. Don't forget his dad was one of the great officials of our game, Tom Bellew.
Yes.
He ran the game, jumped into the chair when Kevin Humphreys was stood down from a position. So, you know, we've got people to go to here, and I think we should use them. And Jeff's experience in this case would be great for the NRL to fall on. I mean, there are other people grandstanding, and I think that's wrong. I think that we've got the opportunity here to just be calm in a crisis and let it unfold. Hopefully, it'll get to court sooner rather than later, but are we asking St George to stand him down for maybe a year and a half, and subsequently he may be found not guilty?
Yeah.
Well, that just opens a Pandora's box in my mind.
Exactly. So a lot of pressure on Todd Greenberg. He's come out a couple of times in recent days saying this is the toughest professional decision of his life. He's under pressure to make that decision to stand down Jack de Bellin. Some people saying that'd be strong leadership. Jimmy's point is well made. It's also strong leadership if he doesn't stand him down and stands by our democracy, which is innocent until proven guilty. This is a bit of a test of Todd Greenberg's leadership here.
Oh, absolutely. And there are other issues that are going to be discussed this week and maybe decisions made on. The Cronulla Sharks have won. I mean, the Dogs
yes.
are barking. They're going to be hit with a massive, massive fine, which may take them to the wall. That's, you know, the rumours are just everywhere about what that fine will be. And some people are saying in the know that it could be between $1 and $2 million, which could cripple the club. There's that. There's Dylan Walker's in court in a few days' time over his charge. He'll be appearing in court. Manly played him in a trial last night, which continues on the club policy set down all those years ago on the Brett Stewart issue, that the players are given their right to have their day in court. Well, Dylan gets his day in court, and that that view may change if the court makes a decision, but at least he has his day in court before any decision is made. So it's going to be a tough week for the game, but it could be a defining week in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, trials. Tommy T, my favourite player in the NRL, hamstring injury. A couple of other young forwards injured as well for Manly. Billy Kickow, injury. Are they doing the right thing playing trials?
Well, Jimmy, the more I look at it, the more I think there are... Well, we've always known there are necessary evil in our game. Billy Kickow and Tommy Trbojevic are two of the biggest names in the game.
Yes.
They may not be available in 18 days' time when the season kicks off. My view is that in training today, they have opposed sessions after opposed sessions
yes.
with NRL referees in charge.
Yes.
And they are as tough, if not tougher, than the trials, because the players are there in front of their coaches saying, I'm a better player than my opposite in this a post session, and I'm going to prove it.
Yep.
And it is like if people saw what went on, they'd know that the trials they're not needed anymore. It'd give the chance for the game to kick off maybe a few weeks earlier and give us a couple of weeks mid-season to maybe have a rep break. I think there's an upside to it, and I think we should be looking at it, and I think it's time now to do it. But 18 days to kick off, boys.
Yeah, can't wait. Hey, Sorb, who's potentially, Jimmy and I have been debating it for a couple of weeks now, the big improvers in the NRL this season?
Oh, I think Newcastle, just by pure virtue of the players that they've bought, the class of the players that they've bought, the fact that they have strengthened just about every part of their side. I had a look at them on the streaming last night, and they look sharp. I think Kalyn Ponga and Mitch Pearce will prove a very good 6 and 7. They did some fine things last night. I think that they, by virtue of who they bought, will be the big improvers in 2019. Dragons have an exciting prospect in 21-year-old Michaeli Ravalawa, who scored 2 tries in the trial. He's not tall in the mould of Fijian wingers that we've seen and are watching in the competition every week now. But he's the jack in the box and can find the line, and looks very exciting.
Yeah, he was playing for Mounties last year. Okay. Couldn't get a start at the Raiders. When he was signed with the Dragons, they cut him from playing for Mounties. So he is a guy you need to keep your eye on. Maika Sivo is a young bloke who played for the Panthers. Now he's going to be at Parramatta. He's a star waiting to happen. So keep your eye out for that guy as well. And we see that Tina Turner is one of the most famous, well, forget in sport, overall, for brand enhancement. They're going to bring her back, Zorb.
30 years ago next year, boy, doesn't time march on. Simply the best, Tina Turner, it's the best in Australian sport, covering every sport. And John Quayle and Ken Upson in charge of the New South Wales Rugby League in those days, they managed to get her to come to Australia. The ads will be replayed next year, I understand, by the NRL, and that's a good thing. Boys, I just quickly.
Yes.
Parramatta continue to be the dunces of the NRL on and off the field. The Eels didn't have many things to cheer about last season, but they did unearth a bright young hooker in Reid Mahoney. Remember us talking about him when he made his debut? He played 9 games for Parramatta last year. He looks a real prospect. He's come through their junior reps. And, well, the club obviously don't think he's ready because it seems they are willing to fork out $750,000 a year for the 255-game 31-year-old Warriors veteran Isaac Luke, who is on $125,000 at the Warriors. He's got to get out calls if he can get an extra dollar somewhere else. Well, Para, it seems, have jumped in with a $750,000 offer. I reckon that's way over the top. Best days are behind Isaac Luke. I like Mahoney. He's a jack-in-the-box hooker. And Parramatta, if they shun this local junior for the veteran from across the Tasman, then that'll just be a nail in their reputation, I reckon.
He needs to get his running game in order when he plays in the top grade. I like watching him play. Reid Mahoney, I'm not sure pronunciation around that. I'll tell you what this highlights for me, Zorb, and it's a really interesting point, and it's on the wake of them missing out on George Burgess for 3 years. It's when your recruitment aligns to short-term goals, that is, Brad Arthur has got to get some wins on the board, otherwise he won't have a job, as opposed to what's best for your club and the management of your salary cap over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
More long-term view.
Yeah, 100% agree with you, Jimmy. And that's the point in this. Sure, look, the kid's wet behind the ears. He'll learn. I thought he's tough. He's got good service from dummy half. Yep, his running game's got to get better. It's not up to Luke at the moment, but he's a long-term prospect. Start thinking about the future, not about the quick fix, as you say. But when you've got a coach under the pressure that he's under,
yep,
then you know these are the sort of decisions that are made.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. It is going to be fascinating on Thursday. We will wait patiently for an outcome from Todd Greenberg and the National Rugby League. Good on you, Zorb. Really appreciate that insight that you've given us around the Brett Stewart case 10 years ago as well.
Okay, mate, and cheerio to the board riders having a ball up there at Snapper Rocks where the waves are huge. And Joel Parkinson, Adam Hennessy, and the rest of the elite board riders up there tune in every Sunday morning to the program. So a good shout out to them.
Ah, good stuff, Zorb. Well done. Well done. We'll speak next week, Zorb.
Okay.
See you, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters. His thoughts on the game of rugby league. $250,000 will be the fine, I know. Trust me for my Sharks. That's Rod from Nowra. So, again, there's some big issues going to be discussed on Thursday.
Just on Isaac, Luke, what's the situation at the Warriors, Jim, given they've lost Sean Johnson, Simon Mannering's retiring, yes. Isaac Luke's a proven, experienced, seasoned first grader. Wouldn't you want him there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting way that they've gone about contracting him. So they've said, hey, we like it when you're coming off contract because we think you play your best footy then. So we're going to put you on a one-year contract. We'll give it you a low price. And Isaac Luke said, okay, well, I'll back myself to get another contract, a long-term contract, but because I'm taking up so little of your salary cap, I also reserve the right to leave this contract if I'm offered a better contract, more long-term, somewhere else.
Hence why he's shopping around. So
it's a really...
It's a win-win for both club and player, if you think about it.
Well, now the pressure's gone back onto the Warriors and go, well, if you want to keep him, you've got to extend him.
Mm.